God. We thank you in your wonderful name. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Hannes. Right, yeah, so sure, I remember those mornings with Hannes. They were stretching ones. And our visitors today, Frederick and Mart, are actually Jono and Charlene's parents, or Charlene's parents, so it's Jono's, their son-in-law. So yeah, I still remember that one morning we got together with Hannes and we go through his budget. He says, oh, I can't tithe this month, I've got a service to do. So Jono says no. He looks at me and he says, Georgian, I will pay the service as long as you tithe. So I said, wow, okay, great. So we did that. But I mean, that's how important it was to us for him to tithe. And I think Hannes was like in tears. Now, why would you do that? And I said, because we want you to learn that principle of tithing. And yeah, so wow, this morning is I'm actually blown away by what's like happened this morning, and just confirmation of how the Holy Spirit works, and like everything's like come together. Even so, when Anthea brought that word, like I just looked at her and I said to her, that's actually what I'm preaching on today. And then Tanya starts talking about trusting in miracles, and then I thought, wow, Lord, what is going on? I haven't spoken to these people, but how do they know what I want to speak about this morning? And actually, so this morning, for those of you who don't know me, my name's George. I think we do have a couple of visitors this morning. I'm one of the elders here. Tony's away. Jerry's at the youth camp. But so I'm actually not flying solo, because I've got great deacons to help me, I've got good leaders, and I've actually got a congregation that all help me as members. So yeah, so we're blessed to have this congregation here in Boksburg. So my name's George, I'm married to Bronwyn, this beautiful wife of mine. We've been married for 26 years. And it's just a bit of a testimony quickly. So we had Comm Group on Wednesday, and it was just like so amazing. So Claude and Debbie visited us for the first time, a wonderful couple, and we were just like, so we decided, let's just introduce ourselves to Claude and Debbie. So like I started and I said, I'm George, I'm married to Bronwyn, we've been married 26 years. Then we get to Doug. Doug says, my name's Doug, I'm married to Carol, we've been married 26 years. Then I thought, okay, wow. Then we get to Sharon Sandwell, says, my name's Sharon, I'm married to Colin, we've been married 26 years. And I'm thinking, wow, this is like, and then we get to Claude and Debbie, and Claude says, oh, I'm married to Debbie, we've been married for 26 years. So it was like, it's so beautiful to see God and marriage together. 26 years, four couples, it was, yeah. So I thought I'd just start off with that, yeah. So this morning I really wanted to share on one of the blueprints on being led by God, and that is trust. And how do we trust God? And the portion of scripture I want to speak on this morning was one of the first scriptures that when I first gave my life to Jesus, around about 18 years ago, so I was saved in my mid-30s to late 30s, and it was this portion of scripture that, like, you know when you're highlighting yellow, and it just like, it's right here in front of you, and I just like came out to me, and I just carried on reading the scripture day after day, and then somebody preached on it. And in those days, we had CDs, so I had the CD, I used to listen to it the whole time, and I just love this portion of scripture, because there's just so many gold nuggets in it. And it comes from Proverbs 3, verse 1 to 10. And I thought, let's just read the whole of that scripture, but what I really want to speak on is on Proverbs 3, from 5 to 6. But I thought 1 to 10, there's just so much in there that we can get out of. So I'm sure you can, hopefully we can all see from there. Yeah, so there it is there. So it's Proverbs 3 from verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of man and God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord of your wealth with the first fruits of all you produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. And yeah, there's just so much in that, and I'm not even going to go through all of that because we need a couple of Sundays to do that. But this morning I really wanted to speak on Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. And we'll just read that again. In the ESV it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So I just felt this morning just to break down those two verses into four. There's actually four sentences there, and we're going to go through just those four sentences and just basically dissect them. So the first one is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And actually, this is the key to our relationship with God. Actually, a key to our relationship with God is actually trusting him. And are we willing to let God lead us? So firstly, the word trust actually means, trust means a confidence or security in someone, or a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. So that's what trust means. And I know I did this with our comm group a couple of weeks ago, so please laugh at my stories. No, I'm joking. So I want to share two stories that relate to trust, and you'll see how different those two stories are. So the first story is of this tourist. He's going up the Drakensberg, and he gets too near to the side, and the gravel starts loosening, and he tops over, and he's falling. And as he's falling, he sees this branch sticking out of the mountain, and he grabs onto this branch, and he's actually holding onto this branch for dear life. And then he realizes that the roots are actually loosening, and he thinks, this is it, I'm gone. And in desperation, he looks up, and he says, is there anybody up there? And to his surprise, he hears this voice, yes, I'm here. And like, now he's surprised. He says, who are you? And he says, I am God. So he says, can you help me? God says, yes, I can help you. And God says to him, do you believe I can help you? And he says, yes, 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 help me quickly. I'm going to fall. He says, will you obey everything I tell you to do? And he says, yes, 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 yes. So then God says to him, let go and I'll catch you. And he thinks, no. And I'm sure I heard a ladder coming down. And he says, no. He says, just repeat that. He says, let go and I'll catch you. So there's this tense pause. He looks up and he says, is there anybody else up there? So the point is, there wasn't much trust in this man. But the second one is one that probably we can all relate to. It's probably most of us you'll remember these days, and it was when I was teaching my kids to swim, or maybe you were a child and your dad was teaching you to swim. And I remember those days. I did it with all my kids, but more vividly with Dimitri, because that was only a couple of years ago. It's probably about 12, 13 years ago. And I would, he's 16, but this year was 3. He was about 3 when this used to happen. I used to stand in our pool, and he used to stand on the end there, and I used to say, jump away. And he'd look at me and run away and say, no, Daddy, I'm not jumping. Then I'd say, come on, boy, jump. Dad will catch you. And he'd look at me, run away, and then eventually he would pluck up the courage and he'd jump in. And of course, as his father, I'd catch him, I'd take him to the side of the pool, and this started this whole game of like repeat, jump, catch, repeat, jump, catch, until I was basically exhausted. But the point of that story was that Dimitri's trust wasn't in his ability to swim. it was actually in his father's ability to catch him. And I was just thought about that, and I thought, if a child can develop that much trust in a human being, how much more can we trust God, a God who created us, who sent his one and only son to die for us, his son shed his blood to set us free, to give us a hope of eternity. And trust is actually the practical outworking of faith. It's when we trust God that we show our faith in him. And I found this thing from C.S. Lewis. This is what he wrote on trust, and I just thought it was so good. And it says, to trust him means, of course, trying to do all that he says. There would be no sense in saying you trusted a person if you would not take his advice. Thus, if you have really handed yourself over to him, it must follow that you are trying to obey him, but trying in a new way, a less worried way. And yeah, when I read that, I just thought, that's so true. And sometimes, you know, it's easy to trust God when things are going your way, when there's easy things, it's easy to trust him. But I was just reminded, what happens when the heat is turned up? How much then do we trust him? And I was reminded of those three youngsters in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They actually never compromised. They trusted God no matter what. When the heat was turned up in their lives, they never said, we'll serve this God that Nebuchadnezzar told them to speak about. And so they knew that God had a plan for them, and ultimately it was actually to glorify God in that plan that God had for them. And if we read from Daniel 3, from 13 to 18, it says the following. And let's read that. So it says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And it goes on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reply to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And we all know what happens at the end. They don't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. They're thrown into that fiery furnace. And actually, it was so hot that actually the soldiers that actually threw them in were killed. They were burned to death. It goes on to say that not even a hair on their body was singed. They didn't even smell of smoke when they came out. And I want to say is, when we trust the Lord and we go into this fiery furnace, Jesus will always be with us. And that's where the king even said, weren't there three of them inside? Then I see four. And they say that the Lord was also in there with them. And yeah, so you'll go with us. So that's the first point on trust. And then the second one was, number two is, lean not on your own understanding. So I think once we know we are trusting God, then we must be conscious not to trust on our own understanding. Sometimes we start leaning on our own understanding. So we started trusting God, and then we start getting all these voices in our heads. And sometimes that actually misinterpret God's messages for us. And so we always have to lean on God, no matter what. Don't lean on ourselves. We always lean on God. And the word lean on actually means to rely on or derive support from someone. And if we're looking for someone in the Bible who actually relied on God no matter what, it's one of those books that nobody actually wants to read. because of what went through or what happened to him, but that's actually the book of Job. Job was upright, he was unwavering in his commitment to God, yet his life was turned upside down. He lost all his children, he lost all his wealth, and then he loses all his health as well. And he had all these sores on him, and what I love about him is he never denounced God. And even his wife said to him, please denounce God, let's get back to normal here. And he wouldn't denounce God. And even in his lowest point of anguish, he declares his trust in the Lord. And this is what it says in Job 19, verse 25 to 27. And I'll read it from here. It says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. I just love what he's been through, all these ordeals, and yet he's still leaning on God. He's trusting God. And then thirdly, it's in all your ways acknowledge him. And always give God the credit. Remember that everything we have actually comes from God. And in all your ways acknowledge him. Do we actually do that? Do we acknowledge him in everything we do? Do we know that God's in complete control of our lives? That he has a plan for us? And I was challenged with this, and I think a lot of people have been, hopefully it's not just me, but do we acknowledge God first thing in the morning? What's the first thing we do in the morning? And trust me, I'm speaking to myself. Pick up my phone. What's happening on Facebook? How many emails did I get last night? I don't know. What's it called? A Twitter handle or whatever else you get. These social medias. Is that the first thing we do in the morning? And I see people laughing, so yeah. Maybe it's not just me. And I was challenged with that. And I had to really speak to Bronwyn and say, listen, there's no Facebook in the mornings. Let's look at the Word in the mornings. And I know there's a guy in Benoni who sends us devotionals every day. I think Hannes is also on that group, if I'm not mistaken, and Doug. So he sends a devotional, and he's been doing it for, 8 years, that he sends us devotional, and I get it on WhatsApp. So I've made a conscious effort now to just go through that devotion, just in the morning. First thing I do is just, there's a scripture, and then it talks about the scripture, and they're actually so good. And that's basically what I've tried to teach myself to do first thing in the morning, because we need to acknowledge God. And even in that first part of the script in Proverbs 9, it says, give of your first fruits. Proverbs 3:9, it says, give of your first fruits. And in that context, it was your money, basically tithing. But God actually also wants our first fruits in our time, in our devotion to him. That's what he actually wants. So don't you just hate it when you walk into a room and no one acknowledges you? When you walk into the office and you greet everyone and all you hear is creak, 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 creak. And you think, this is weird. I've actually not taught myself, this is what I do. And Michelle's here, she works with me. She'll know the first thing I do when I walk into the office is I greet everybody. Then luckily we don't have an office of 1,000 people, otherwise it would probably take me the whole day. But there's an office of 7 of us, and I'll walk in and I'll greet everyone. And if I've got time, if I'm not late or if I'm early, I'll ask them, what's happening, how you doing? And that's acknowledging them. It's not just walking into my office, closing my door and just start working and not saying hello to anybody. And I just thought about that. Imagine how God must feel when we don't acknowledge him. Remember, when I was preparing for this, God is omnipresent. He's actually everywhere. And yet, we don't acknowledge him. And he could be, and he's here. He's all over the place. But yet, we acknowledge other things before him. So that was the third one. The fourth one is, he will make our path straight. So once we're trusting him, once we're relying not on our own understanding and we continuously acknowledging Him, then we can clearly see the path ahead and the path that the God, that the Lord wants to take us. That's when He straightens our path. And there was a lady in the States. She was just caught up in this vicious snowstorm. She couldn't see where she was going. She was driving, her wipers were on. She didn't know where she was going. She was actually going to Denver, and she decides, she sees a snowplow in front of her, and she thinks, wow. So for those of you who don't know, a snowplow is one of those trucks that push the snow away, and then you can see where you're going. It makes the road, it clears the snow off the road. So she sees the snowplow, and she thinks, okay, you know what, I'm going to follow the snowplow. So she keeps on following the snowplow. About 30 minutes have gone by, and the snowplow pulls over. The driver gets out, knocks on the window, says, ma'am, where are you going? She says, no, I'm going to Denver. She says, you're never going to go to Denver because I'm actually clearing the parking lot of this shopping center. So she was just going all over the place. And so God will get us to where we want to go, but we have to follow and trust Him. And yeah, so as I like coming to land, I just love how these two verses just flow into each other. And it starts with trust, then not leaning on your own understanding, acknowledging Him, and then He'll make your path straight. There is no other way. He won't make your path straight if you're not trusting Him. If you're relying on yourself the whole time, how's He going to make your path straight? How can you trust Him? And just in closing, I thought of an acronym for trust, and I thought, let me just start putting all these this acronym for trust. And the first one is the T is the truth. So we know that that's the truth. If we're trusting in God, we know that's truth. He is the truth. The R is He's reliable. We can count on Him. There is reliability in God. The U is we have a union with Christ. So we're not lone rangers, and I always say this, even the lone ranger had Tonto. So we're not here to be on our own. We extensions of Jesus. And then the S, we spoke about it, He straightens our paths. And then for me, the T, the last T, is probably the most important, is to what? Thank God. To thank Him. So how many times do we go through? We only thank Him sometimes when we're waiting for these big things to happen, and when they do happen, we thank Him. But how often do we just take for granted just our wives, our children, our homes, our vehicles, anything, our jobs? So let's thank Him constantly. So that's me, and I don't know, maybe in closing, I don't know, maybe there's some of us here this morning who are, I don't know, maybe like that tourist. We're holding on to that branch for dear life. And we just won't let go. We're not trusting in God. We're not hearing Him. Or we are hearing Him, but we're looking for plan B. Or then that probably means we're leaning on our own understanding. And there's some of us here this morning, and even as Tanya brought up this morning, that we're trusting for miracles. And what are we trusting? I just felt that there were like these three areas that we were, that there's trust. We're trusting in a relationship. Could be a marriage, could be a child, or it could be a family member, that we're trusting for like a reconciliation in a relationship. But we're holding on to bitterness, and we just won't let go, or unforgiveness, and we just won't let go of that branch. And I think the Lord's saying, like, let go of that branch. And there's a saying that says, let go, let God. And I think that's so important, is that we have to let go of these branches that we're holding on to, and let God do what He needs to do. The other area that I was that maybe we're trusting in is a health issue. Maybe there's something that we're trusting in that the Lord needs to heal us from. And I just felt that the branch that those people are carrying is a branch of fear. And they're holding on to that fear, that branch of fear. And again in that one, the Lord's saying, let go. So, yeah, we all need God's direction in our lives. And oftentimes, our God's instructions are the opposite to what we see in the natural. And we look and we think, that calm. Just like that guy, the tourist, Lord said to him, just let go and I'll catch you. But that wasn't, he saw that as just, that can't happen. That's impossible. But let me just say that God's principles are so different to the world's principles. So what are we trusting for this morning? And I don't know if you're here this morning and you're trusting for something. I don't know what that could be. I had those two, trusting in a relationship or restoration of a relationship. And I had the other one of trusting in a health, something to do with your health. I don't know. I just want to pray for us. So if that's you here this morning,